Social economist Juliet Shore has spent most of her career trying to understand the relationship between people and profit. Her 1992 book, The Overworked American, looked at the average worker's lack of leisure time. Next came The Overspent American, profiling people stretched to the limits by living beyond their means. Her new book begins at the beginning. The title is Born to Buy, The Commercialized Child and the New Consumer Culture. While writing the book, Shore interviewed marketing executives and advertising insiders, as well as parents and kids, and she found some surprising and alarming facts that take the happy right out of Happy Meal. Juliet Shore joins us from member station WBUR in Boston. Welcome.
Thank you.
One of the most disturbing facts you mentioned right at the beginning of this book is the appallingly early age at which children start recognizing logos.
Yes. Children are now being marketed to virtually from the time they leave the womb. There are infant internet sites, and of course, we are indebted to PBS for bringing us television for one-year-olds. And what this means is that kids, before their second birthday, are well aware of logos and are already beginning to what's called bond to brands, that is, start to feel identification between their selves and particular brands.
Well, when my oldest was 18 months, we suddenly could not pass a Starbucks without a temper tantrum, and we had to go in, and we hadn't even fed him sugar. He'd only had the fruit bowl, and he saw it and needed to go in every time.
Absolutely. Archetypal example. 18 months is the number that shows up in the literature as being a key moment at which those brand identifications are becoming solidified in American children. Children are learning to identify and ask for brands very early on to imbibe the messages of advertising, which are saying that the brand is important to my identity. This is absolutely key because it's the foundation for the enormous explosion in advertising messages that are directly targeted to children.
So if advertisers are speaking directly to kids and shaping, as you say, their identity, what are they saying to them?
The number one message that kids are getting today is that the product makes you cool, and cool is all important.
You just have another word for describing a part of the message as well, anti-adultism?
Yes, it's the idea that the kid world, which is basically constructed by the corporation, the marketers, is a fabulous kind of utopian space of play, fun, fantasy, imagination. The adult world is horrible, nerdy, boring, oppressive, restrictive. Parents are a drag. Teachers are a drag.
But isn't the same thing evident in some of the world's great literature for children?
There's certainly something valuable in thinking about, you know, kid autonomy and kid empowerment. I believe genuine empowerment is a really important thing. What happens is that advertisers pervert these important cultural realities and sort of twist them to their own purposes and exploit them.
You also talk about the phenomenon of advertisers ostensibly targeting a certain age group, but doing so in a way that appeals to much younger kids. They've got this acronym CAGOY. Kids are getting older, younger.
This is another key theme. It's very much connected with what's cool. And what's cool is being older, participating in teen culture. This is, of course, intersecting with another cultural reality, which is that kids are doing things at earlier ages now and are developing and maturing in many ways faster than in the past. So again, marketers take a genuine social trend and they are pushing it to its limits. So that, for example, is real makeup for five-year-olds, sexy clothing for six-year-old girls. Marketers say, oh, we're just reflecting the culture. In fact, they've been really key in changing the way kids are acting, the kinds of products they're interacting with, and what they're seeing.
What about the marketers and advertisers' position that, look, parents bear some responsibility in what their kids consume, and they should just be stronger and say no?
what the industry says is that it's all on parents and it's all the failure of parents. But the whole strategy of the industry for the last 10, 15 years basically has been to figure out how to disempower parents to do that. So for example, they've done an end run around parents by going into places where parents are absent, like schools, boys and girls clubs. So they target the kids when the parents aren't there. Or their most sophisticated strategies are the ones that figure out how to break down parental resistance to unhealthy products, which is what they've been so successful in doing in terms of food products. So my view is that really both sides need to step up to the plate and take more responsibility for creating a healthy environment for kids and rolling back what has become a very toxic commercial culture.
Aren't children today, though, more sophisticated about advertisements? And don't they kind of see through what marketers are doing?
Children today are certainly more sophisticated in lots of ways. The industry claims that they can't ever fool a kid, but there's no research to support that point of view. Kids have much less ability to resist the sort of sirens of the ad, as it were, than adults do. Even kids who have been exposed to media literacy training, studies show, have a hard time resisting the persuasive power of ads. So I think that there's a lot about being a kid, the emotional aspects of being a kid, that allows them to, at the one hand, know the company just wants them to buy the product, but it's hard for many of them to not want the product despite that.
And they want
it. But you know what? I think adults are like that too.
Juliet Shore is the author of Born to Buy. She joined us for member station WBUR in Boston. Thanks so much.
Oh, my pleasure.